My Beloved Masters, composed by Srila Bhakti Vigyan Bharati Goswami Maharaj. Shishimad Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj. Full surrender means leaving nothing behind. Prior to joining the mutt full time, Srila Goswami Maharaj, then known as Shri Atul Chandra Bangdopadhyay, worked for Indian Railways, which provided him with a stable residence. Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada once visited and stayed there for 3 days in 1921. As a result of his divine association during that 3 days visit, Shri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay decided to dedicate his life to serving the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Following the principle of the verse Gurum Evabhi Gachet from Mundak Upanishad 1.2.12, he understood that upon approaching Shri Guru, one ought to surrender oneself completely without returning home for anything. Therefore, he packed all his household items, his table, chair, bureau and so on a truck and brought them to the mutt. He did not leave anything behind so as to ensure he would never have to revisit his house to settle pending matters. The dear associate of Srimad Mahaprabhu, Shri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay and Shri Srimad Bhakti Prakash Aranya Goswami Maharaj visited many homes and offices to collect donations and find new subscribers for the Gaudiya Mutt's weekly magazine titled Gaudiya. In those days, Gaudiya was publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in installments, often including pictures of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other Vaishnava Acharyas. One day, a person asked Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj, "Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be non-different from Bhagwan. Why then have you included pictures of mortal humans on its same pages?" For whatever reason, Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj kept silent, and so Shri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay gave an eloquent yet assertive reply. "You have not fully understood the special divine characteristics of Granth Bhagavat, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, and Bhakt Bhagavat means the devotee of Bhagwan. Nor have you learned the purpose of the many essential verses that describe the nature of devotees, such as Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastre Uktaksya Tatha Bhavata Eva Sadhvi Kintu Prabhu Ya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Shri Charanar Vindam." Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur, Shri Guru Ashtakam 7. The scriptures unanimously proclaim Shri Guru to be Sakshad Hari, directly Shri Hari. This is a fact jointly corroborated by all saintly persons. Yet at the same time, Shri Guru is very dear to Bhagwan. I adore the lotus feet of that Shri Gurudev. How then will it be possible for you to comprehend that the photographs published in Gaudiya are not of ordinary persons, but of very special self-realized personalities? Moreover, it will be difficult for you to understand that because of their eternal relationship with Bhagwan, these liberated persons are non-different from Him. In the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Him. He ended the discussion by remarking, "I am from a Brahman family, so high that 14 generations of your family would consider themselves grateful if but one of them happened to drink water from a place where I had passed urine. But for some reason, you are questioning the master at whose feet I have offered my head, as well as the magazine I have come to distribute." In the evening, Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj recounted the story to Srila Prabhupada. He told Srila Prabhupada that although he was unable to answer the man's question, Shri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay, who was relatively new to the mutt, gave an apt reply. Upon hearing this, tears flowed from Srila Prabhupada's eyes. He said, "Srimad Mahaprabhu has sent one of his close associates to assist us. We have heard that Srimad Mahaprabhu and his associates appeared before Srila Prabhupada and assured him that they would provide both the means and the manpower required to spread Shuddha Bhakti among the masses. In the above mentioned pastime, Srila Prabhupada confirmed that Mahaprabhu himself has sent his dear associate Sri Srimad Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj. Causing others faith in the real thing is the best type of collection. Whenever he collected donations, Sri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay always dressed in a formal attire consisting of a coat and pants. One day, he visited the house of a Sethji, a wealthy person. He rang the doorbell and the owner personally answered the door. When Sri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay introduced himself as a member of the Gaudiya Math, the Sethji replied by saying, "I have no faith in Gaudiya Math." Ignoring the man's words, Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu brushed past him and entered the house. The Sethji became irritated. "Did you not hear me?" he asked. "I said I have no faith in the Gaudiya Math." Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu took a seat in a nearby chair, saying nothing in reply. The Sethji, now irate, repeated, "I said I have no faith in the Gaudiya Math." This time Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu responded, "Yes, yes, I heard you. This is exactly why I have come to your house, to generate your faith in Gaudiya Math. Even before I came, I knew that you had no faith in the Gaudiya Math, for if you had, you could not have resisted visiting." Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu then expertly explained the aim of the Gaudiya Math's mission and its unique specialities. Being highly influenced by Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu's scholarly presentation, the Sethji gratefully offered him a large donation. Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu refused a donation. "I have not come for a donation," he said. "Believe me, when I say I have come only to generate your faith in the Gaudiya Math." With great respect, the Sethji personally drove Sri Atul Chandra back to the Gaudiya Math, where he received the darshan of Srila Prabhupada and offered the donation to him directly. Thereafter, he visited the Gaudiya Math regularly. Delivering an offender. Once Srila Prabhupada took Sri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay and an entourage to preach in Kanpur. While Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu went to the city for a short time to collect donations, the local district magistrate came to visit Srila Prabhupada. During the conversation, the magistrate made a derogatory comment to Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Most of your followers seems highly educated. Is it your mission to turn educated people into mendicants?" With this, the magistrate got up and abruptly left. Later, when Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu returned to see Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada informed him of his encounter with the magistrate. As Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu listened to Srila Prabhupada, he noticed that the magistrate's criticism had made Srila Prabhupada unhappy. He immediately hailed a horse cart and went to the magistrate's house. When he arrived, he told him, "Srila Prabhupada is an extraordinary personality. He is a personal associate of Bhagwan. Your disrespectful comments has ensured your total ruin. You have played with fire, and now 14 generations of your family will have to suffer in hell." The district magistrate became frightened. He humbly asked Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu what he must do to make amends. Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu instructed him to beg Srila Prabhupada for forgiveness and serve him somehow. The magistrate and Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu at once returned to the mart, where Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu implored Srila Prabhupada, "Please be kind to this man and absolve him of his offenses to your lotus feet." Srila Prabhupada then spoke to the magistrate on many topics, and the magistrate served him by offering a donation of 500 rupees. Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu accepted huge responsibility when he resolved to save the district magistrate from committing a serious offense. This anecdote demonstrates many of Srila Goswami Maharaj's transcendental qualities. He had firm conviction in the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. He could recognize the awful fate in store for those who offended Srila Prabhupada, and he mercifully strived to find a way for them to atone for their offenses. By this, he delivered many offenders and, like a true well-wisher, did whatever he could to cultivate auspiciousness on their behalf. Defending Srila Prabhupada and his followers. While Srila Prabhupada was heading to perform Sri Braj Mandal Parikrama with his associates one year, Shri Halugu Lal, the head of the managing committee of Shri Banke Bihari Temple, issued a statement to almost all of the prominent temples in Vrindavan, notifying them that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would soon arrive with all his followers. They are all Harijans. Footnote: Harijan means people of Hari. Mahatma Gandhi used this term to describe members of the various labor communities, washermen, drain cleaners, street sweepers, leather workers, etc., who are generally considered untouchable outcasts. He said, "And his followers are not to be allowed entrance into our temples." When Sri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay came to hear of this, he took a group of his Brahmin-born godbrothers, including Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, then Sri Hai Gari Brahmachari, Sri Narottamananda Brahmachari, later Sri Bhakti Kamal Madhusudan Goswami Maharaj, Sri Pranavananda Brahmachari, later Sri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj, and others to meet with the Gosai or the head priest of Sri Radha Madan Mohan Temple. In conversing with the respected Gosai, Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu asked him, "Do we, who have taken birth in a Brahman families, seem like fallen deviants to you? Have we not conducted ourselves according to the words of scriptures when we resolve to follow the path of pure Vaishnava Dharma?" Srila Prabhupada has propagated the principles of Deva Varnashram Dharma, the social designation of individuals according not to race or familial lineage, but innate propensities. To maintain a mundane conception of Srila Prabhupada will bring only ill fortune to the world. Moreover, may I remind you that I am Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay. When the Brahmins of your family approach your family seeking the hand of my daughter in marriage, I forbade it. I told them, "We are Kulin Brahmins. How could we possibly consider allowing our daughters to marry in your family, when we despise even the idea of dining in close proximity to you?" The Gosai begged for forgiveness and accompanied Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu to see Srila Prabhupada. He then brought Srila Prabhupada and the Parikrama party for darshan of Sri Radha Madan Mohan Ji and conferred great respect unto Srila Prabhupada. Observing the conduct of the Sri Madan Mohan Ji Temple Gosai, the head priest of all the other prominent temples of Vrindavan also accorded befitting honor and respect to Srila Prabhupada. It was only the Gosai of the Sri Banke Bihari Temple who maintained some objection to allowing Srila Prabhupada's disciples to enter his temple, saying that Sri Bihariji would be frightened by the tridandas the sannyasis carried. When Srila Prabhupada heard of this, he said, "Fine, if this is the case, we shall not enter the Banke Bihari Temple. We do not wish to frighten Thakurji." Collecting from a materialist. Once, Srila Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay took his godbrother, Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, to visit a miserly businessman in Madras, now Chennai, who spoke only Tamil, of which the two godbrothers knew not one word. Before their visit, Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu told Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, "I will communicate with him through hand gestures only. All you must do is advance toward him with your tridanda and back off when I tell you." "And why exactly am I supposed to run back and forth with my tridanda?" Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj asked. Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu replied, "He will either think that I am depriving him of a blessing from Sri Narayan, who is embodied by your tridanda, or that I am protecting him from you, turning him to ashes with it." When Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj advanced towards the businessman with his tridanda during their meeting, Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu stopped him and held up his 10 fingers, pointing to the businessman. The businessman in return held up 1 finger. Again, Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj advanced towards the businessman until Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu stopped him. This time, Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu held up 9 fingers and the businessman held up 2. They went on like this until eventually they both held up 5 fingers. As soon as Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu stood up, as if ready to leave. The merchant made a gesture, signaling him to stay, and then went inside his house. Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj asked Sri Atul Chand Prabhu, "What does this mean, holding up five fingers?" "Maharaj, I have no idea," Sri Atul Chand Prabhu answered. "It could be 5 rupees, 50 rupees, 500 or something else. Whatever it is, let us wait and see." The merchant then brought 500 rupees from inside and put it in Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj's hand. He then begged him to bless him on the forehead with his tridanda, and Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj obliged. As they were leaving, Sri Atul Chand Prabhu kicked the ground at the doorway. When Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj asked why he did that, he said, "I do not want to deal with this kind of person ever again. Otherwise, I fear I will become a covetous, materialistic vishayi. I am kicking this man's association, kicking it with spite." Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj would often say, Sri Atul Chand Prabhu was like a reddish farmer whose crop is completely uprooted during harvesting. He would approach a person once, receive what he could, and never return. Others, however, were like eggplant farmers whose crop continues to give even after harvesting. They would reputedly go to the same person to acquire whatever they needed. Neither is intrinsically better than the other. They are simply different approaches. The best approach is always that which is most favorable for the service of Sri Hari according to time, place and circumstance. A queen's donation. Once, Srila Atul Chand Bandopadhyay stayed in a temple in Orissa. At that time, the temple's service were being funded by an elderly queen who was popularly known as Rani Mata. One day, Rani Mata sent her servant to inquire whether Sri Atul Chand Prabhu's stay there was comfortable enough and whether he was experiencing any inconvenience. Sri Atul Chand Prabhu replied that everything was fine except that he was having a hard time sleeping without a pillow. Rani Mata then graciously sent him a pillow and told him he could keep it. As soon as Sri Atul Chand Prabhu received the pillow, he set off for Sri Dham Mayapur and took it with him. Upon his arrival at Sri Yogpeet, he opened the pillow and found about 2,500 rupees inside. Traditionally in Indian culture, it is men who offer donations to sadhus and not women. Sri Atul Chand Prabhu was perceptive enough to understand that by sending her servant to check up on him, Rani Mata was looking for an opportunity to serve him in some way. His request for a pillow was actually meant as a chance for her to offer a donation in secret. Such were his wondrous ways of collecting donations. Posing as a lawyer for the service of the Gaudiya Math. At the bidding of the Queen of Sitapur district in Naimisharanya, a man resolved to donate land for the construction of a Gaudiya Math there. Sometime later, however, an Indian Civil Service ICS officer, a foreigner, complained that the queen ought to donate the land to her subjects if she had so much. He questioned how the locals would benefit by giving land to outsiders from Bengal or anywhere else. Hearing about this, the donor retracted his pledge to give land to the Gaudiya Math devotees. Sometime later, Sri Atul Chand Bandopadhyay overheard the devotees he was with discussing the matter at the Sitapur train station while waiting for a train to Kolkata. As fate would have it, the train was 3 hours late, and so he informed the devotees he would pay the man a visit. On the way, he purchased a notebook and tucked it under the arm of his coat to make himself appear as a professional. He approached the man who withdrew his pledge and said, "I am the Gaudiya Math's legal advisor, and I am here to sue you for defamation. When you promised land to them, they printed notices in many newsletters and magazines about the proposed math in Naimisharanya. But now that you have gone back on your word, their name will be tarnished." The man explained his position and showed Sri Atul Chand Prabhu what the ICS officer had written. Sri Atul Chand Prabhu shouted at the man, "What does that fool know? We want this land not for the sake of taking, but for giving. We will develop this area by investing assets gathered from elsewhere. There is not a single person in your entire state who would come forward to develop this area like we would. And even if someone were to come forward, he would end up costing you much more than he would invest. Our investment in this community, on the other hand, would be greater, say 10 times greater than the value of the land you would give us. But never mind that. The main point is that you must make good on your promise. Otherwise, I will have no choice but to file a lawsuit against you. When the man finally agreed to donate the land to the Gaudiya Math, Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu insisted he pay a 10,000 rupees fine for the inconvenience he caused. Ultimately, the man agreed to pay a fine of 5,000 rupees. Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu collected the fine and returned to the train station in time to make his train. His presence of mind. Before Srila Prabhupada sent Sri Atul Chandra Bandopadhyay abroad to preach, he asked Ernst George Saluge, a German disciple of his whose initiated name was Sadananda Das, what title should I give Atul Chandra when I send him to preach in the West? I need to give him a title that properly conveys his superiority to all the preachers I have sent up until now. Sri Sadananda Prabhu suggested the title Missionary in Charge, which Srila Prabhupada liked. He then gave this title to Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu and sent him to preach abroad. Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu did not accept even one paisa from the Math for his overseas preaching. The donations he collected abroad funded the entire venture. One day, the housekeeper where he was staying informed him, "A large envelope with your name on it has come, but it is too big to fit in the letterbox. It is hanging out. You best retrieve it now." When Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu opened the letter, he found that the King of Bardhaman has sent him a check in his name. Although he did not have any English bank account, he decided to go to the bank anyway. At the bank, the manager told him, "We cannot cash your check unless we get a signature from someone who can verify your identity." It just so happened that a photograph of Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu shaking hands with the Marquis of Zetland had been published in the newspaper that day. Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu saw a newspaper lying on the manager's desk, took it and opened it to the page with his picture. He showed it to the manager and asked him, "Who is this person in this photograph?" The manager read the title on the bottom of the photograph, "Indian Monk, A.B. Goswami and Marquis of Zetland," he said. "Am I not the very same person?" Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu questioned. The manager looked at the photo and back at him a few times. "So," Sri Atul Chandra Prabhu prodded, "what do you say? It is definitely you. Then you yourself can verify my identity and sign." The manager did just that. Such was Srila Goswami Maharaj's presence of mind, maintaining faith in disheartening situations. After Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, the Saraswat Gaudiya mission faced a host of disturbances. During that time, a certain distinguished personality made the following comment about a particular disciple of Srila Prabhupada. "I do not trust him when he says, 'Ha, yes,' nor do I trust his brother when he sarcastically say, 'Who, yes.' The mouths of the fathers of those who have faith in their 'Ha' and 'Who' will be full of these two brothers' stool." Footnote: in other words, the two brothers' association is so harmful that it affects not only a person who associates with them, but that person's father as well. Just as good association delivers one's forefathers, bad association adversely affects them. They are cheating us. We should teach them a lesson. Srila Goswami Maharaj replied, not ferociously, but peacefully, according to his tranquil nature. He said, "Bhagwan is all-knowing and he always guides and protects his devotees. If while being cheated by the Vaishnavas we maintain faith in them, nevertheless, even at the cost of detriment, that faith will be the genesis of our future happiness. Acquiring land in Mayapur. From the very beginning, Srila Goswami Maharaj was entirely disinterested in procuring land and building a mutt in Mayapur. He would reputedly say, "Already in Sridham Mayapur are Srila Prabhupada's Sri Chaitanya Mutt and Sri Madhav Maharaj Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Mutt. What then is the necessity for me to toll to build another place? I do, however, want my godbrothers to accrue as much land as possible, because otherwise undesirable people will create establishments there in the future and try to tarnish the sanctity of the Dham." He would also say, "I will provide my godbrothers with as much money as they need to purchase and develop land. But with this, they must accept the responsibility of properly maintaining their establishments." Srila Goswami Maharaj possessed incredible foresight. Today, many undesirable factions have established themselves in Sridham Mayapur and engage in many activities opposed to the cultivation of bhakti. Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Goswami Maharaj was insistent that Srila Goswami Maharaj establish a mutt in Sridham Mayapur. And so, Srila Goswami Maharaj, yielding to the request of his godbrother, purchased a plot of land there. On the day the foundation was to be consecrated, by performing an auspicious cornerstone laying ceremony beneath the shade of an acacia tree there, Srila Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj did not conduct the ceremony himself, but had Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj do it. Our Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Mutt provided the mridangas, kartals and asans for that ceremony. I considered myself supremely fortunate and blessed to have witnessed and heard the heartfelt kirtans sung by those who have taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Their exemplary and gentle interactions and the profound Harikatha they spoke that day. Afterward, devotees distributed nothing more than a light, hollow sugar candy called Padasa as Prasad. But no one was dissatisfied. Everyone was quite pleased. The simple end to the grand festival brought to mind a verse I had learned when I was a child. Aja yudhe rishi shradhe prabhate megh ambura dampatte kalahe che eva babrambe lagu kriya. The sparing of rams, the service rendered by saints, the sound of thunder in the mornings, and the squabbles between a husband and wife are loud in the beginning and quiet in the end, accomplished ultimately by the smallest of gestures. Although I had always felt that this verse was not applicable in modern times, I realized it was most certainly relevant to Srila Goswami Maharaj's feast that day. An example of his humility. While Srila Goswami Maharaj's mutt in Sridham Mayapur was under construction, he stayed in Guru Maharaj Bhajan Kutir in our Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Mutt. He was highly punctual. He would come and go at exactly the same time every day. One day, for some reason, he arrived at our mutt 5 minutes earlier than normal. Before entering Guru Maharaj Bhajan Kutir, he asked us in all earnestness, "Prabhus, today I have come 5 minutes early. May I come inside the mutt, or should I atone for my unpunctuality by waiting outside?" "Accept only that service which you can properly manage." When Srila Goswami Maharaj would host festivals in his mutt, he would invite only one or two devotees from each mutt. He would explain, "By his own conduct, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taught that, as etiquette dictates, we must invite only as many Vaishnavas as we are capable of serving at one time without losing a respectful attitude. If we invite too many devotees, we run the risk of making offenses due to our inability to attentively serve every one of them in a befitting manner." His deep respect for the Dham. When Srila Goswami Maharaj would walk from Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Mutt to his mutt, his servant Sri Gaur Das Prabhu and I would support him from either side. One day, as we were leaving Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Mutt, we saw Neelu, Sri Yogpeet's generator room guard, driving a new bicycle rickshaw, a vehicle that had been only recently introduced in Sridham Mayapur. Seeing this, Shri Gaurdas Prabhu asked Srila Goswami Maharaj, "Maharaj ji, would you like to go by rickshaw?" Srila Goswami Maharaj replied gravely, "Me on a rickshaw in the holy dham? Never. This will never happen. I know well that you people will all ride in cars in future, but you will not get a license to do so from me." It is a fact that in his entire life, he never sat in a rickshaw or a car in the dham. When traveling to the dham in a car or rickshaw, he would stop at the limits of the dham and start walking. Shri Gaurdas Prabhu said, "Maharaj, we are afraid you might fall and injure yourself if you walk all the time." Srila Goswami Maharaj joked, "Ah, that is your problem, not mine." Later, when he reached his mutt, he loudly called to another of his dear servants, Shri Van Bihari Baba, "O Van Baba, this Gaura has just about killed me today. He made me walk all the way here. I am so worn out." His relationship with his disciples were always sweet and humorous. Everything is justified in service. Once Srila Goswami Maharaj and his servant Shri Gaurdas Prabhu came to our Mayapur branch of Shri Chaitanya Gaurya Math to visit the Gaushala, which I managed in those days. Srila Maharaj saw two healthy, happy calves there and asked me, "How old are these calves?" "Maharaji, they are about 1 year old," I replied. Without hesitating, he offered this advice, "If you turn them into oxen, footnote, castrated bulls trained for use as service animals, you will be able to get a great amount of work out of them." When Shri Gaurdas Prabhu heard this, he said, "Maharaj, would you have dared to even suggest such a thing, let alone do it, had you been living with your family?" "No," Srila Goswami Maharaj replied, "I would have been declared an outcast and removed from our society. But I am no longer a Brahmin. I am a transcendental Malecha, a divine outcast of sorts. If an activity befitting a Malecha is performed with the intention of serving Shri Guru, Vaishnava and Bhagwan, it is considered spiritual, not mundane. Everything is justified in service." Remembering Shri Krishna and his associates in all situations. One time, Srila Goswami Maharaj asked me, "What is your name?" "Narottam Das Brahmachari," I replied. When he heard this, he was reminded of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He said, "Your name is Narottam, then you are my master, my Prabhu." In Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 4.85, Srila Kaviraj Goswami has mentioned, "Jaha jaha netra pade taha Krishna sphure," which when applied to this situation means, wherever a perfected personality cast his eyes, Krishna manifests to him. The word Krishna in this verse refers to Shri Krishna accompanied by his associates. Therefore, when Srila Goswami Maharaj heard my name was Narottam, he immediately became immersed in remembering Shri Krishna's intimate associate, Srila Narottam Das Thakur. This is the speciality of Vaishnavas. Ordinary person can never imagine, even in dreams, the transcendental consciousness in which Vaishnava remains situated. Honoring all Prasad with equal reverence. When Srila Sarang Goswami Maharaj sat to honor Prasad, he would do so only after first mixing together all the preparations on his plate, everything from karela, bitter melon to sweet rice. The first time I saw him doing this, I was still new to the math, and I therefore lacked understanding of Vaishnava Siddhanta. I told him, "Maharaj, you will not be able to relish the original individual tastes of these preparations if you mix them all together." Srila Goswami Maharaj replied, "Why should I indulge the desires of this wicked and insignificant tongue of mine, which measures a mere 2.5 inches? Do you not recite this verse before accepting prasad? Mahaprasade Govinde Nam Brahmne Vaishnave Swalpa Punyat Rajan Vishvasu Neva Jayate Skand Puran Utkal Khand." Those who have very few pious activities to their credit can never develop faith in Mahaprasad, in Shri Govinda, in the holy name of the Lord, or in the Vaishnavas. And what has Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur written about Mahaprasad? Sharira Vidya Jal Jade Indre Tahe Kal जीवे फैले विषय सागरे, तार मध्य जीवाति लोभमय सुदृढ़मती, ताके जथा कठिन संसारे। ओ ब्रदर्स, द मटेरियल बॉडी इज अ वेब ऑफ इग्नोरेंस एंड इट्स इनर्ट सेंसेस आर द कॉज ऑफ इट्स रियोनेशन, फॉर दे थ्रो द सोल इन टू द ओशन ऑफ मटेरियल एंजॉयमेंट। अमंग द सेंसेस द टंग इज द ग्रीडिस्ट एंड विकेडेस्ट, इट्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू कॉन्कर इट इन दिस वर्ल्ड। कृष्ण बड़ दयामय, खोरी वार जीवा जाय, सौ प्रसाद अन दिलो भाई, से अनमृता पाओ, राधा कृष्ण गुन गाओ, प्रेमे डाको चैतन्य निताय। कृष्ण इज सो मर्सीफुल दैट ही हैज गिवन अस हिज ओन फूड रेमनेंट्स टू हेल्प अस कॉन्कर द टंग। ओ ब्रदर्स, ऑनर दिस नेक्टेरियन फूड्स, सिंग द ग्लोरीज ऑफ राधा एंड कृष्ण एंड विथ प्रेम कॉल आउट चैतन्य निताय। In other words, he explained, Shri Krishna Prasad is just like a nectar. To discriminate between preparations is improper. We should not think, I want less Karela and more sweet rice, or I do not want this item, please serve me more of that one. He then quoted Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, Dvaita Bhadra Abhadra Gyan Sab Mano Dharma Ehi Bhalo Ehi Mand Ehi Sab Brahm. श्री चैतन्य चितामित अंत लीला 4.176। इन दिस वर्ल्ड ऑफ ड्युअलिटी कॉन्सेप्शंस ऑफ ऑस्पिशियस एंड इनऑस्पिशियस आर ऑल फंक्शंस ऑफ द माइंड। इट इज डिल्यूजन टू थिंक दिस इज गुड एंड दैट इज बैड। श्रील गोस्वामी महाराज कंक्लूडेड हिज पॉइंट बाय सेइंग, इट इज देयरफॉर बेटर फॉर अस टू ऑनर द आइटम्स ऑन आवर प्लेट विद इक्वल रेवरेंस, कंसीडरिंग देम ऑल टू बी प्रसाद। If someone would ask him how he liked the prasad he was served, he would always answer, it was very good. They prepared it very well. But if he heard a devotee complain that a dish had not been properly prepared, he would say, go and call the cook at once. He must be punished for being inattentive in his service to Bhagwan. He should be suspended from his service for 2 or 3 days and instructed to atone for his misdeed by constantly weeping and chanting Harinam. Bring him here at once, so that I may reprimand him. His words were not merely lip service. He set a precedent by actually punishing those who were inattentive in their service. Valuing Vaishnav Seva over Bhagavat Seva. Srila Goswami Maharaj would often mention, I have not come to the mud to serve Bhagwan. I have come to serve Vaishnavs. In this world, we receive many opportunities to serve Bhagwan, but the opportunity to serve Vaishnavas is exceedingly rare. It is much more spiritually beneficial to serve Vaishnavas than Bhagwan. For by doing so, one learns how to properly serve Bhagwan and gradually develops a true, lasting taste for such service. Engaging in the direct service of Bhagwan without first serving Vaishnavas does not ensure one's spiritual benefit. Seeing all Vaishnavas as his masters. When Srila Goswami Maharaj manifested an illness pastime, I bought him a portable commode made of cane, an item that was available in Navdeep and Krishnanagar in those days. When Srila Goswami Maharaj saw it, he told me, I will never use this. A Vaishnava would have to clean it every time I use it. I cannot bear to think about that. Throughout my life, I have never considered any Vaishnava to be my servant. I have always regarded everyone, newcomers and seniors alike, as worthy of my service. No matter what I said to him, I could not convince him to use it. Finally, I constructed a commode out of bricks with my own hands, which he happily accepted. Explaining the need for new mutts and deities. Someone once asked Srila Goswami Maharaj, during one of his preaching tours, what is the need to build new temples and mutts in India when there are already so many? And why install new deities when there are currently so many deities being neglected? Srila Goswami Maharaj replied, the root cause of India's troubles is overpopulation. This is evident by the fact that the government has created various initiatives to keep the population under control. Those who have fewer children, for example, receive ample assistance from the government. If overpopulation is a national crisis, Why do childless couples make efforts to have children of their own? Would they not be as content with adopting an orphan? No, they would not. The degree of affection one may possess for another person's child can never match the affection one would have for one's own. Similarly, the attachment one may have to a temple, mutt or deities established by others is far exceeded by the attachment one has to one's own. The Vaishnava's pastimes extend beyond the external. One Srila Goswami Maharaj fell ill in Sridham Mayapur and needed to be taken to Kolkata for medical assistance. I accompanied him and the devotees who were engaged in his personal service on the part of their journey. We first took him across the Ganga by boat to Swarupganj and then boarded a bus to Krishnanagar, where I arranged for them to take a train to Kolkata. I also explained to his sevaks how to reach Dr. N. R. Sen Gupta, a reputable doctor in Kolkata. After Srila Goswami Maharaj recovered and returned to Sridham Mayapur, he told me, "I was fully conscious the whole time you took me from the ghat to Swarupganj and then to Krishnanagar. But I remained quiet, thinking that I should let the Vaishnavas do as they felt was appropriate." I was astonished as Srila Goswami Maharaj went on to recount the day's events in such sharp details. I was reminded of Srila Vrindavan Thakur's words in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavad, Madhya Khand 9.240. Jato dekho Vaishnav vevahar dukh, nishche hi janiyo sehi paranand sukh. Know well that whatever suffering a Vaishnav may appear to experience is actually spiritual happiness. I was amazed. Although he appears severely unwell outwardly, he was fully aware internally. Perhaps it is with reference to such instances that the scriptures state, Vaishnav chinete nare devera shakati. Even the demigods are incapable of understanding the divine habits and activities of Vaishnavas. His astounding life teachings. We have received the following teachings from the exemplary life of Srila Goswami Maharaj. Devotees need not to concern with experiencing opposition, nor should they worry about adverse circumstances. Bhagwan is like an affectionate parent for his devotees. He always protects them. The process of bhajan cannot develop if corrupted by a propensity for sense gratification. A person attached to gratify his senses never attains true welfare. It is only when we remain supremely satisfied with whatever prasad Bhagwan mercifully arranged for us that we will attain perfection in our sadhana. Fully attentive and dedicated service to Sri Hari Guru and Vaishnavas is the true expressions of deep-rooted love for them. The disappearance of Pujyapad Goswami Maharaj, composed under the editorship of Sri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj. The principal pillar of Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission. Tridandi Swami, Srimad Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj, was one of the foremost pillars of Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada's preaching mission, which aimed to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the entire world. Thus, he fulfilled his beloved Sri Guru Pad Padma's most cherished desire, a model of humility and a fearless Guru Sevak. Pujyapad Goswami Maharaj was a prominent member of Sri Vishnu Vaishnav Raj Sabha. Footnote: an informal worldwide organization founded by Sri Jeev Goswami. The words Vishnu Vaishnav Raj refers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sabha refers to those devotees who follow his teachings. The chairman of the weekly Gaudiya magazine editorial board, a humble model of Guru Seva and the greatest of speakers. Now he has attained the eternal shelter of the gentle lotus feet of Sri Guru, who propagated throughout the world the glories of Sri Gaur's sacred abode, name and most cherished desire. Through his divine conduct, Pujyapad Maharaj demonstrated a fearless example of service to Sri Guru until the very last moment of his physical presence. If we can attain the fortune of following him to even a fractional degree, then our lives will be blessed beyond all fortune. He is unpretentious, genuine and exemplary character. Pujyapad Goswami Maharaj was the foremost assistant of Sri Gaur Karuna Shakti, Srila Prabhupada, who was Sri Gaur's potency of compassion in fulfilling the most cherished ambition of Sri Gaur. By the desire of Gaur Sundar, that great servants of Sri Guru who possessed the most unpretentious, genuine and exemplary character appeared in the world with great nobility. Today he has concluded his magnificent vow of service and bid farewell to the mundane realm. Kripa Kori Krishna Mor, Diya Chilo Sang, Swatanta Krishna Icha, Hailo Sang Bhang. Mercifully, Krishna gave me his association. By Krishna's independent will, our exchange has ended. Excerpts from articles published in Sri Chaitanya Vani, Year 4, Volume 4.